can't really hurt what Jeremy says because I got my two Stanley Cup rings plugging my ear.
It's the 26th edition of the Can't Hear What Jeremy Says podcast, sponsored by Total Beverage and Bender's Bar and Grill at the Westminster Ice Center. Hockey is officially back, and in this edition, Avs insider Adrian Dater and Reagan Smith discuss their first impressions of Avalanche training camp, focus upon Tyson Joe's surprise placement outside of the top 12 forwards, talk some Avs defense, and finish it off discussing the altitude television disputes. All that and more coming up, but first, here's your host, Adrian Dater.
Reagan Smith, I don't know about you, but covering hockey when you with no fans in the stands, I mean, I actually felt like a Florida Panther beat writer today. Boom, boom. I'm sorry to do that to you, Panther fans, but day one Avalanche training camp. Welcome to the Avalanche podcast called Can't Hear What Jeremy Says, folks. My cohort here, Reagan Smith, we're going to break down day one of Avalanche dystopian training camp today, as I like to call it. I've been using, followers of mine probably noticed that I've been using that word dystopian a little bit too much probably lately. It's kind of my new favorite word. Kind of a science fiction-y word where everything is black. Everything that was black is now white. Everything that was up was now down. Everything that was wet is now dry, etc., etc. Reagan, I don't know how to really describe it other than the way I did in my story I just posted where, you know, it hits you in a weird way when you actually have to live through something like today where it actually happened. Like, you're always reading about temperature checks and no people around and swabs and Zoom calls. It all happened to me today and all the media at Avalanche training camp, day one of phase three. I can't really put it into words other than the fact that it's something I will never forget, though. In a sense, it's all unique, and in that sense, uniqueness is always kind of interesting and fun in a way. Not fun. Nothing's fun about this. That's the wrong word, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah, sort of just different and puts you out of your world that you've been in for so long. I don't know how to explain it. We'll talk more about how I've tried to explain it. Avalanche Day 1 Training Camp Phase 3. What was it like for you as a viewer today from the outside?
In all honesty, it kind of just felt like a more condensed version of what we've been seeing them for the past few weeks, of just kind of being in groups, but now all together, because essentially you're just kind of living through social media, and now you're the beat reporters that are now finally being able to come in to Pepsi Center and report on it. But I mean, you're getting all your information now from seeing the players out on the ice, from the team pages, and it's weird, but I think it kind of primed us for the past few weeks with players that with doing the on ice pictures and stuff like that already.
Yeah, I just can't really get over the fact that, you know, it's mid July and we're doing training camp, day one. Like, this is the time of the year when you normally start to really wind things down on the hockey season and everybody starts to sort of scatter and not be seen for another 45 days, 50 days, 60 days until the next training camp. And here we were, July 13th, with
like a brand new season.
With not just the training camp that was starting, but what happens right after camp is the playoffs. You don't have any preseason games. You don't have any early season games to yawn through. It's going to go from 0 to 100 like that.
And yeah,
I don't know if I'm ready for that. I don't know if any fan is ready for that. All I feel like is that it's thrust upon us and we have to deal with it however we deal with it. And same with the players. And everybody is just trying to feel their way through this whole new experience.
I think with the fans, I think everyone's like, yeah, hockey's back, hockey's back. Let's get to it. And I think we're going to be up to that until that very first game, and we're going to watch that very first game and be like, this is the most surreal, weirdest, almost uncomfortable feeling. Because it's going to be great to see hockey, no doubt about it. In an empty arena with some fan noise being pumped in, it's just going to feel... I think we're going to really feel that idea. This is hockey in the middle of the summer for a playoffs that should have started months ago. And I don't know. It's going to be hard to grasp that for, I think, the first few days. Obviously, we'll all get used to it quickly, especially with six games a day. It's going to be great. But it's just going to be so surreal, I think, once it finally gets back and we see it on our televisions. That's how it was with me watching my Cincinnati Reds do a scrimmage today with their own team. It was just like, oh, I haven't seen baseball in so long. It's weird.
And it's all going to be from Edmonton. I'm going to try to be there in Edmonton. Maybe we'll talk about that more. But I am going to try and be there. The question, folks, the drama, folks, are all listening, is whether I'm going to be allowed into the country or not on Saturday. I'm going to be I have a flight to Edmonton on Saturday, and I have an Airbnb picked out that I will do a 2-week quarantine in if I'm allowed into Canada. I have heard conflicting reports all day long from people who say, you're not going to get in, Dater. There's no way. They're disallowing people. There's already a U.S. reporter reportedly who didn't get in today, who tried. To other people saying, nope, I know people at the border, customs, and as long as you can show that you're going there for work and you prove you're going to do the quarantine, you'll get in. I don't know. I will find out
Shot
Saturday.
Shot in the dark.
I am going to be out some money on a plane ticket if I don't get in, non-refundable. Yeah. I'm going to have to apply that to future travel. There's a question of the Airbnb, too, whether I'm going to refund on that. Stay tuned. But before we get rolling on the events of training camp today and news developments, I want to say thank you to the, I would say, more than a dozen people who have contributed to the Avalanche travel tip jar on ColoradoHockeyNow.com.
That's awesome.
I'm not going to say specific numbers, but it's paid a lot of the trip already, like a good majority of the expenses already. So if I don't go to Edmonton, the thing I wrote was that everybody gets a refund, no questions asked. I may throw something out there saying, all right, folks, do you want to have the refund right now, or do you want to apply this to maybe some future travel? For me, I may do that, I may not, but chances are people are going to want their refunds, and that will absolutely happen, no questions asked. So I kind of wish I didn't buy a plane ticket already if it's going to be non-refundable. It was several hundred dollars for that, but
that's okay.
If I get in, and if I don't get in, you know what, if I don't get in, I don't have to spend 37 straight days in Edmonton with a 2-week quarantine where I cannot leave the room for the first 2 weeks. And if I do, I risk the penalty of 6 months in jail and or a $750,000 fine. And I heard that the Mounties in Canada check up on you regularly, unannounced. If you're not there, they will certainly come looking for you.
Find you.
Yep. And, they also track you with a GPS on your phone, supposedly. So, if
you're not going to be moving,
I want to be where the Avalanche are, though. That I've already written this, and people probably listening to this podcast know that I wrote this the other day, and probably maybe you already know this, but I want to be, you know, I want to be where the action is. I've never missed a Avalanche. I've missed two Avalanche playoff games in my whole life. Well, that I was not in person at. That was Game 6 of the 1998 first-round series against the Edmonton Oilers. This was the series the Avalanche lost to the Oilers in 7 games, blowing a 3-1 lead. I missed Game 6 in Edmonton. My grandmother, my dear grandmother, passed away. And I went all the way back to Massachusetts for the funeral, and glad I did. I missed game four of the 2008 Minnesota Wild first round series in Minnesota. Had a very, I won't go into detail, let's just say I had some intestinal digestive problems, probably. Leave it at that. I'm pretty hardy on the road, and it takes a lot for me to miss a game. I couldn't get out of bed at all. I couldn't yeah. do it. I just couldn't do it. Reagan, you ever missed a game where you're too sick?
2016 Stadium Series. I was trying to go to it.
Oh,
really?
Really
wanted to go to it. And I got the flu a day and a half before, because I was trying to scalp a ticket, and I don't think I would have, but I was really looking to do it. And I got the flu like the day and a half before the game was game happened. So I remember just puking my guts out watching the Avs lose to the Red Wings from my from the guest bedroom. And I was just like, well, this sucks, but also the Avs sucked that game too, so maybe it was a blessing in disguise.
Well, the alumni won the game at least.
Oh man, I was looking forward to that as well.
That was a great game. I was there for that whole thing, and I was actually covering that for
That'd be so cool.
I covered that for Bleacher Report actually at the time when I worked there. Yeah, it was unbelievable. I'm sorry you missed that game, bud. That was a great, great, great event. It was unbelievable, actually. And to see all the Avalanche Red Wing alumni play that game, it was unbelievable.
And you didn't have traffic issues. That's a big one.
Yeah, I know it. No fire. Not like the Fire Festival 2 that was the 2020 Outdoor Series game at the Air Force Academy. We don't need to go into that. But
Retrospect, I'm happy I went to that game. But at the time, I was hating life.
You know, I'm going to have to do an oral history of that whole game at some point. You know, like people's stories.
Muddy.
I mean, it really was.
And it was cold that night, too.
Yeah. It just, the traffic situation, though, was just an absolute number. And yet, you know, everybody who's been to Air Force football games will tell you, yeah, it's like that for every single Air Force football game, too. So people should have known. But the fact is, nobody did know, really. No hockey fan has ever been to the Air Force Academy for a game, except at the Academy Fieldhouse, which, you know, is usually not on a prime day where it's a lot of traffic. But
anyway, we
don't need to move. We don't need to belabor that game. It was certainly a weird night. But speaking of weird, right, Reagan? Before we take our first break, I thought the first day was good for the Avalanche. They all looked good in shape. I didn't notice anybody who looked slow, fat, you know, lazy, sick, anything. Everybody looked in really, really good shape out there.
Love to hear that.
But, you know, I think the biggest development of the day was that Tyson Joseph's not in the top 12 forwards. This is going to take up probably a good portion of our podcast, but the fact that Tyson Joseph was not in the top 12, Reagan, kind of surprised me. I know we debated this on previous podcasts, but I didn't really think Jared Bednar would actually go through with that. I just didn't think it. And that doesn't mean he's not going to be in the top 12 come the playoffs in Edmonton. But this to me, today's developments, not a great day for Tyson Jones.
No, and I'm honestly kind of shocked with you with that hole, because I remember, I think it was the last episode, I was just like, you know, I'd like to see him not in that top 12, but it seems like Bednar's put his faith in him more often than not. I know he got sent down to the AHL, but yeah, just immediately right off the bat to not have him in the top 12, that's kind of a wow factor to me, for sure.
Joe skated with TJ Tynan and Vladislav Kamenev.
They ain't in it.
That's the fifth line, basically.
Yeah.
You know, the top three were the big line, the back line. Kadri Burakovsky and Valery Nichushkin, second line. Comfer Nemestikov and Donskoy, third line. Did I say Donskoy already or no? Did I screw that up?
No, Donskoy's third. No.
Yeah. And fourth line, Nieto, Belmar, and Calvert. Nothing really surprising, really, in those top 12.
No.
And yet, I guess for the now, Jared Bednar is thinking, I don't know where to put Tyson Jost. I can't put him on the fourth line, really, because that doesn't really fit. Those three guys have good chemistry together, Nieto, Belmar, Calvert. I can't really...
Yep.
You know, we went out and got Nemestikov at the trade deadline, gave up a second-round pick for him. I think nothing is set in stone. The playoffs haven't started yet. The lineup sheet is not out. But I think... I just thought that Tyson Jost's play had been good enough toward the before the shutdown that he would still sneak in there somehow. Not yet. Not today.
And we wouldn't be having this conversation if the Avs didn't pick up Nemestikov from that trade deadline.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a total change in the whole lineup, really. And it's interesting because I don't really see, maybe I'm wrong, dead wrong here, but I really don't see the Avs lines changing much, if at all, from really kind of what's been set up right here.
Well, I don't know. I think Bednar does, you know, he changes lines up a bit, but he doesn't usually make lineup changes where guys come in and out of the top 12 too easily. He changes his lines around among the top 12. But not so much moving guys in and out of the top from the, you know, 13th forward or
He's not a guy to put Barbario on the left.
Nah, well, he did that last game. He did that last game against
the
Rangers.
I know.
But we don't. If Mark Barbario is playing forward in the playoffs, we're in trouble. I don't know. I think it's going to be a lively debate among Avalanche fans. There's a lot of Tyson Jost fans out there. It seems like, at least on Twitter, and. You know, Bednar's really setting himself up to be examined on this thing. If Nemestikov lays an egg early in the playoffs, and they, you know, let's say they lose in the first round, and Tyson Jost is sort of kept on the bench, you know, everybody's gonna say, you screwed up. Jost. But on the other hand, you know, Jost numbers weren't that great. We've been over this too, as far as points per game. I think the biggest surprise in this whole season was Valery Nichushkin playing like he did after we all thought he'd never score a goal again. We're all sort of pitying him. He scored, 13 after that? And he's a second-line forward now. And
he deserves it.
And he deserves it. He was one of the best players in the league, really, as far as what he did, both ends of the ice. Production-wise, defensive-wise, you know, Corsi, puck position, everything. So, Big Val looked good shape again today. Did you see that picture of him I posted with him and Dirk Nowitzki?
Uh-uh.
You didn't?
No. Hold up. I'm scrolling. Let me scroll.
It was like several days ago playing cornhole with Dirk Nowitzki. Looked like at a 4th of July party, and Big Val looked in really good top-notch condition there. Dirk Nowitzki looked like a house.
It's because he is one.
He has obviously, and God bless him for this, I would be the same way. Like, post-playing career, he's been like, okay, I'm going to have that extra piece of cheesecake I never could have as a player. I'm going to have an extra six-pack of beer, maybe. He looks a lot bigger, but he's a big, big man. You got to see that picture if you haven't. He looks like a little kid next to Nowitzki. all right, so enough about Nichushkin's, physique against Dirk Nowitzki. We'll wrap up segment number one here, Reagan, saying, though, that, I don't know. I think that Joe's story is going to blossom into a bigger and bigger thing as camp goes along. I think there's going to be a lot of Avalanche fans that are upset by this. It's going to be a rollicking debate entering opening night. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe the Joes, I'm overrating the Joes fans out there as far as their passion, but it's a first-round pick, you know, who isn't cracking the top 12 just 3 years later.
It's a statement. Yep.
It is a statement.
And, it's a huge statement.
You know, you just have to really question whether, you know, what his future would be with the team. And on the other hand, you know, Nemesnikov will be a UFA after this year. Typically, the Avalanche don't re-sign guys they pick up on the rental market. So, you know. But, yeah, it was surprising to me. I didn't quite pick up on it right away either at camp today. It took me a few minutes to realize that he wasn't skating with top guys.
On that third line.
Yeah, well, part of that was because they didn't skate the third line until the second session. You know, and third and fourth lines skated in the second session. The first two lines skated in the first session. So, yeah, I was a little slower to pick up on that as far as Joe's being even out there for the first session. But out there he was, and he was with Tynan and Kamenev. So we'll maybe touch more on that. Get more into the other lineup moves by Jared Bednar today, the second line especially, and other developments from today, Colin Wilson. We'll do that after I tell you about my great sponsor, Total Beverage, the very best beverage stores in all of Colorado. There's two locations, one 104th and Washington and Thornton, the other 92nd and Sheridan and Westminster. For all going on 2 decades now, they've been the biggest and best beverage stores in Colorado. 5,000 craft beers, thousands of wine selections, online, in the store. Doesn't matter, it's all there. You can find whatever you need at Total Beverage. Thousands and thousands of square feet, all at very wholesale prices. They don't marking things up like your typical mom and pop liquor store does. They keep it all low cost, wholesale, big numbers of product on hand. They can pass those savings on to you, the customer. Dozens and literally over a dozen checkout registers in the store. You don't have to sit there and stand in line for 20 minutes trying to get out of that mom and pop store. You're a Total Beverage. You have a multitude of selections, not only in your beverage, but also in your checkout stands. It's just so many things in there. It's a Disneyland of beverage stores, folks. I can't emphasize enough what the selection is in this store as far as beverages go. Even snacks. Other non-alcoholic beverages are in there, too. So many sodas. Everything you can name. If it's liquid, it's in Total Beverage. Two locations, as I said. They are open every single day. Right up till 11 o'clock on weekend nights. You got till 9, 10 p.m. on weeknights. They're always open online, too. Here's the good part. You throw in the promo code AD10 in the checkout box at the TotalBev.com website, and you're going to get $10 off your order of $25 or more. Any beverage selection, $25 or more. You get $10 written right off the bill if you throw in the promo code AD10. So go to TotalBev.com, throw in that promo code, get your $10 off. That's almost 50% off of a $25 or more order. Use that promo code. Get it delivered to your door. It will be delivered contactless delivery. You won't have to sign anything. You can do it all online. The delivery person will just drop it right at your door. If you have to sign something, they'll leave it outside so you can sign it real quick. Either way, you'll get that beverage of your choice delivered to your front door safely, securely, in these times of pandemic and everybody wanting to be safe. Total Beverage has got that covered. They are safety first, spick and span, everything they do. Trust me. I've had beverages delivered to my door, and it's always easy and convenient. So, they are the premier sponsor of this podcast. They're a great local institution. They are part of our community, and I hope you support them. Let's get back to the show. All right, Reagan, let's pick up where we left off. Let's move on a little bit from Tyson Jost. I thought today was, interesting in the fact that Cale Makar was back with Ryan Graves as a top pairing. I think I saw Eric Johnson with him a couple of sequences too. But it looks like Makar and Graves are your top two defensemen heading to the playoffs. What are the odds you would have thought Ryan Graves would be a top two defenseman going into the playoffs, man?
This team's just been chock full of surprises this
man.
Year. Because you would never expect, really, I think, Eric Johnson to ever move off of that top pairing. And then Ryan Graves comes out, plus minus aside, the man has just been awesome for this team this year. And all of a sudden, you're just like, Avs have a really competent decor this year.
They really do.
They really do. And A, fantastic for an Avs fan. But B, I think it's been probably one of the best surprises of the season, I think, is just how solid the Avs have looked with their top four.
Yeah. Samuel Girard was there. He looks Girard was funny. He had a little bit of a thick mustache today. I almost couldn't tell him apart from Barbario at the first
Barbario.
Second. Looked like a lot of guys had really long hair, too. Obviously, they have not been able to go to their barber very easily.
They're just getting their playoff beards ready ahead of time because they know they're in.
Well, the mullets are what's in. Graves has like a really long mullet now, like way long locks in the back. Girard had long hair. Even Jared Bednar has long hair now. He looked like kind of a hippie from the 60s a little bit instead of that military style cut that he always has. Obviously,
bring him back.
Yeah.
Bringing back old time hockey vibes for you.
Yeah, got good old mullets and mustaches from the 70s for sure. Little slap shot, decor out there for sure. I don't know. I thought everything was sort of low key today in a sense. You know, it was mostly line rushes. Then they did some sort of 2-on-2 drills. A little bit of power plays, looked like some action there, some power play drills. And then they went to blue line game, you know, blue line to blue line, where the goalie, you know, and those
you
are
put always, the nets on the blue line.
Yep, pretty fun. It was Grubauer against Francouz. Francouz looked good out there. I thought he was sharp. And frankly, so did Grubauer. I mean, I'm never a very good judge, I don't think, about goalies in a practice. I don't really ever think that they're, you know, this is a real game situation, so I just don't really judge them either way. Like, every shot looks the same in practice in a way. But they look fine, too. You got Adam Werner and Michael Hutchinson, too. The Avs are going to go to Edmonton with four goalies, so they're well stocked there. Colin Wilson not on the roster. They said he's not fit to play. We don't know why.
I remember when the Avs put out the roster thing through the PR thing. That was the first thing it looked to was the IR. Sure enough, right there, Colin Wilson.
Yeah. I would have thought he'd challenge for a top 12 spot if he was healthy. But apparently it's just not going to happen. We've probably seen the last of Colin Wilson in the Colorado Avalanche.
I mean, yeah. Sucks. Kind of sucks, really, but... It seems to be that way.
I think they got, you know, okay mileage out of him. He was never great in the regular season with the Avs, I don't think. He was not very good that first year with the team, I don't think. You know, he was hurt quite a bit, but he did have some really good playoff moments for this team. And I do think that that he would have been nice to have on the roster as a playoff potential, you know, addition if injury struck. What do you think about the forward depth, though, after – obviously Jost is forward number 13 right now.
Yeah.
It's not a what you would call a very probably vibrant forward group after that. It's a bunch of minor leaguers. Were you surprised AJ Greer wasn't called up?
Actually, I honestly was. I would have thought Greer would have been pulled up before Dries would have been, in all honesty.
Yeah.
It's an interesting group, to say the least. I don't think there are too many surprises. But yeah, Greer not being called up kind of peaked, you know, rose the eyebrow. Oh my, I can't speak. Made me raise my eyebrows a bit there for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I think, you know, it would seem like his days are done too as a Colorado Avalanche. Just never quite worked out for the kid here, you know. He played hard, I thought, but he just didn't generate enough numbers, and you know, he just you know, I know there were some issues with you know, at times there were questions about his maturity and things like that.
Yep.
Not really in wanting to go into that shit too much, but it's too bad in a way. I thought I know Greg Cronin spoke well of him when I talked to him on the phone about how he played this year with the Eagles. So that's why I was a little surprised when he wasn't called up. I thought maybe Cronin would be a, you know, advocate for him to make it, but it did not happen. So
yeah, that's
tough, right? You're 23 or 4 or whatever, 22 still.
Yeah, a second round draft pick.
And you're like left off the playoff roster, you know, while guys like Sheldon Dries and guys like that are making it, TJ Tynan.
It's interesting because, you know, we're kind of getting a glimpse into not necessarily next year's roster per se, but we're kind of seeing what the Avs and other teams in the league kind of are thinking about doing during the offseason once it inevitably comes, too, with how they've put in their roster spots and how they're utilizing their players.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. The defense is even more interesting, I think. I mean, you've got the top six set. Looks like, you know, Cole and Zadorov are your 5-6 still.
Yep.
But look what's behind him, though. I mean, if any of these guys falter, I mean, you've got Bo Byram, who's in camp, who, you know, had a hell of a final third of the year with the Vancouver Giants. You got Connor Timmins, who's looks good, I thought, today. It looks big, bigger and stronger. Throwing big bomb slap shots today after practice. Posted one of those on Twitter. And, you know, you've even got guys who were named to the roster that, you know, you hear some decent things about, like this kid Jacob McDonald. I don't know much about him, really, but people seem to know really good about prospects, like our own Ashley Glover of our site, say, hey, watch out for this kid, you know, so yeah, a lot of pressure on the top six to play well. They don't.
There's a lot of pressure, too, on those that are outside of it, like Kanaan and players like that who have kind of, and Barbario, you know, have always kind of been those replacement players, and then you look right behind them, and you have just this shining group of youth talent about to bulldoze their way into potentially being into a top six spot within the next year or two. It's a really good time for the Avalanche defense, to say the least.
Yeah, and a lot of pressure on Nikita Zadorov probably to play well in the playoffs. I don't know. I make no predictions on what's going to happen to him. You know.
Yeah. You and I have kind of always been a bit different, saw a bit differently on that.
I like Big Z, you know.
Yeah.
I like having him around. I think that's, I just like a really big dude like that to have on the team.
Yep.
And yet on the other hand, I can see why sometimes people think, you know, he should be moved to get something more, you know, in the way of either a forward component or, you know, maybe an extra goalie that's, if Grubauer moves out, and that's a whole other conversation. But, you know, you can see him being moved for getting something in return, unlike, you know, some of the guys that, you know you're not going to really be able to move either way, either for budget reasons or just for talent reasons or whatever.
Yep.
So, yeah, a lot of pressure on him, but he didn't seem bothered by it. He's got a really long hairstyle now, too. Like, Big Z's got long mullet out there, and a lot of guys had mullets out there. Ryan Graves got, like, a long mullet. Big
time. It's gonna be the year of the mullet.
Yeah, so No haircuts for them, but who needs haircuts in the playoffs, right? Let that hair grow.
They let it grow, yep.
God. I don't know, man. I can't get used to this still. I can't imagine we're going to have actual, playoff hockey in 3 weeks in August.
Well, I can't imagine being in the very, very limited media I've ever done, both college and the one Avs or two Avs games, not being able to have access to the stadium, be like, here, you're in the arena, but you can't go under the tunnels. You're not going to be able to speak to the players in your standard way. It seems so weird and, as you said, kind of dystopian. It's like, yeah, you're still here, but you're really not here in a lot of ways at the exact same time.
Yeah, I know. We'll touch on this maybe in the third segment, but a lot of players are really talking about how they're going to have to really adjust. I think the thing they talk most about is their adjustment playing with no fans in the stands and what that's really going to be like. Like, nobody's ever really done that, again, except for Florida Panther players. Sorry.
Oh, poor
Oh, poor
Panthers.
Panthers. Yeah.
Hey, they get a chance this year. They get a chance.
They got a lot of talent, man. If they
Yeah.
get hot, I mean, they got a goalie who's won before too, Bobby Doolin. I'm not counting them out. They've got really depth. I mean, all of a sudden we're talking about Florida Panther hockey here on the Avalanche Can't Hear What Jeremy Says podcast. But I do like talking Panthers hockey in a way because we just added a new site to our Hockey Now family of sites. The Florida Hockey Now is now a website run by George Richards, the longtime former Miami Herald writer, also with The Athletic, covering the Panthers for us now. Nice addition for us. So I'm a more of a Panther watcher than I was before. Yeah, they got Huberdeau,
Barkov,
Barkov. They got
Bobrovsky,
Bobrovsky. They got that kid, the D-man, who I'm blanking on his name is, but he's a young, good young
Yandel.
player. No. Well, I'm blanking on his name. This happens sometimes. So when I get my age, the good young defenseman, Aaron Ekblad. There we go. I found. I. It came to me. Good player. Good player. Very good player. So anyway, all right, Aaron. Let's take a quick break for segment number two. That's finishing up. Come back to segment number three around after this message from our sponsor, which is Great Fenders Bar and Grill. Denver's best hockey bar. It's actually in Westminster. We call it Denver because it's the Denver metro area, but it's actually in Westminster, 104th and I-36 area, right at the Westminster Promenade, right next to the Westin Hotel. You drive in there, park your car. You're gonna see two big hockey rinks in there. They're not in full use yet because of the pandemic, but they're getting there. Things are slowly opening back up with the hockey rinks. But the good news for anybody who goes out there is Bender's is open for a dine-in and takeout delivery again. You go in there, you order the poutine, fabulous poutine that I've been raving about for months now. Just had some again recently. It's fantastic. The poutine is the best in all of Colorado without question. I would put it up right up there with some of the poutine I've had in Montreal, believe it or not. And I'm not lying about that. It's so good. They have nothing but fabulous brews on tap. Any kind of beer you want, it's on tap. Throw out another promo code, DATER, DATER. Throw that to your server. Get their first beer written right off your tab. Or a soft drink if you're a teetotaler. Get that written right off your drink too. Your tab. Fantastic place to hang out, watch hockey. They're going to have the playoffs on for the whole time at Bender's. Every single Avalanche game will be right there on their multitude of big screen TVs. It's going to be a fabulous time. If I don't get to Edmonton, I'm going to be hanging out at Bender's watching some of the playoffs. Absolutely for sure. Lively bunch of Avalanche fans that hang out there every game. It's a raucous atmosphere. It's a great place to hang out with your friends. Have some great food while you're at it. Lots of unbelievable libations to wet your whistle. It's also the place where Cale Makar did his first autograph signing as a member of the Colorado Avalanche. It was right there at Bender's. Avalanche fans know this. Go to Bender's. Tell them Adrian sent you. Say hi to your proprietor there, Jimmy Armstrong, the former Denver Post sports writer, colleague of mine. Great guy. Covered the Milwaukee Brewers in 1982 World Series team. Talked to him about Robin Yount. if you will, if you want to. It's all there at Bender's. Greatest location in all of Colorado to watch hockey, get your food and drink on, and also to just even look at a story that old Adrian here wrote when the Avalanche won their last Stanley Cup. It's right there in a frame, right on the wall. It's that's why it's Denver's best hockey bar. You can read what I wrote too. So, all right, let's get back to the show. Reagan, we'll finish up here, sort of an abbreviated segment, segment number three of the Can't Hear What Jeremy Says podcast. Always, as always, with my usual cohort here on the podcast, Reagan Smith, Arizona State junior, senior to be. Hopefully he's back in an actual classroom back in Arizona. You got, you can get you kids back in the room, learn from things instead of a Zoom machine.
We
right?
shall see.
I don't know, man. Arizona's not looking so good right now. Doesn't look like.
Yeah, the cases are finally going down again, thank God.
Oh, they are?
Yeah,
okay.
It's going to. Yeah, they're down to, I say only 1,500 cases, I think was the last report, or 1,300, something like that still. But better than what it was a few weeks ago, or a week ago, so I'll take it. But and it's not too confident about the in-person classes just yet.
Then California just got shut down again today.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm not gonna get on any political lectures on that. I don't care. I mean, I care, of course. I don't judge either way. We don't talk politics on the Can't Hear Jeremy Says podcast. But Reagan, if you're not in school studying and doing student things, you're gonna be watching a lot of Avalanche playoff hockey too. Along with the rest of us here. What do you think about the TV situation? I broke a story the other day. All you Comcast subscribers in the Denver area and Dish, same rules, same stupid rules apply for you in the playoffs, first round and round robin games. They will be they will not be on Comcast. They will be blocked out. They not even on Comcast. The altitude is not even available on Comcast. Not even to be blocked out. You don't even get that screen, black screen anymore that you used to get. Reagan, are you a Comcast subscriber or a Dish subscriber or a DirecTV subscriber?
We cut the cord, so we don't get any of it. So I have to do my own little sneaky ways to watch my Avalanche hockey.
You're not saying you're one of those pirate site viewers, are you?
I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. I just have alternate ways of watching. We're gonna leave it at that.
Oh man. It's like the stupidest thing ever. Like, everybody tries to act like these sites don't exist, but they're right there. I'm not going to give out the addresses, but yeah.
Yeah, what sites? Don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, nothing to see here. What gambling? I'm shocked, shocked that gambling is going on in this institution. That's a line from an old movie called Casablanca. Before your time. I know that there's going to be a lot of upset fans, though. Again, I've already heard from them that wrote that story. As far as I know, though, that there's hope among the altitude folks that this might put some pressure on Comcast to knuckle under and put them on because of the outrageous, you know, no Nuggets and Avs on the Denver's biggest cable channel. It's going to be another story again. It's going to go through the press. National sites will pick it up again when they wake up and start writing about the teams again. It's a terrible situation. I don't think it's gonna matter though to Comcast, really. They're like a $40 billion company. You know, altitude is small chicken feed compared to them, really. So
yeah, they have the unique advantage, and now in this case the disadvantage, of being its own RSN. You know, it's not a Fox Sports Regional. It's its own entity, and for better or worse, it's kind of bit them here, I think. But yeah, you'd hope that you'd see something. And it's just, do you have much faith in it? No, not at all.
I don't know for sure what's behind the scenes on this whole thing. I gotta be honest, so I'm really kind of shocked that Altitude is still hung in there this long. Seems like very stubbornly so. Like, they do have a very rich man who owns them, Stan Kroenke.
When you're owned by Kroenke.
But he's not, you know, Comcast rich when it comes to TV revenues. I mean, he's rich in other ways. He's got plenty of money. Plus, he's also married to Ann Walton, who is, oh, by the way, one of the 10 richest people in the country, I think, based on her Walmart heiress fortune.
Only owns a few sports teams around the world, too, yeah.
Also, a brand new stadium in Los Angeles that hosts, you know, it's going to host the Rams and Chargers, and looks fabulous from what I've seen. They, of course, will they have fans in the stadiums for that? I guess we'll see.
Ooh, yeah, exactly right. Yeah. You know, I am happy they have stuck around, because I'm sure that's incredibly worrisome to everybody who works at altitude. And
oh, yeah.
I'm sure the longer it goes on, the more so it gets for them. But I am happy that they've stuck around for how they have, and the way they've kind of gone about kind of taking that in stride and still continuing on the way they have. But, yeah, you hope it gets resolved soon, because...
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something about altitude that I really like as a company.
Yeah, they're a good company that's, you know, done things their own way for a long time.
Yeah.
And you know, they do everything in house, and you know, it's a lot of work, a lot of money, a lot of investment. They will not have announcers on hand in Edmonton, though. Mark Mosier and Peter McNabb, from all I gather, is still here lately, is they're going to do it from a green screen in Denver at a studio. So that's what I worry for them in the play-by-play and color analyst business, is that would worry me a little bit. They're going to do that maybe forever now after this, and say, hey, why do we need to set up a truck in Edmonton and pay all this money to set up our own broadcast there when we can just do it from a green screen and watch it and have them watch on a monitor and save, you know, $5,000,
$10,000. Yeah, I mean, NASCAR has been doing that for the past few months, and it's worked incredibly well for them.
That's it. I don't even know
that. They're back in Charlotte calling over. Yeah, they did a deep dive. It's like they have four studios around the country that does the broadcast. One does graphics. One does... one is a command center, basically, but all the commentary is done out of their base in Charlotte. No matter where they are, they have a few people as I guess trackside reporters or sideline, if you're unfamiliar. But other than that, the main commentary is done from Charlotte, North Carolina, no matter where the race is.
I don't know that. I know the Rapids soccer team has done had their announcers do it from the green screen in Denver for the last couple of years, at least. So, but you know, and now it's, you know, they'll say it's now, front of the pandemic, and this will go back to normal maybe, but I don't know. If I'm looking for places to cut corners, I probably might look to that, you know.
Well, absolutely. You know, all the company needs to go, any company needs to say is, huh, we tried it, we implemented it, and it worked pretty well.
Yeah, fans didn't know the difference.
Yep, now that we're not so terribly limited with the COVID pandemic, we can do a bit more, but... We also made this work, so we're going to continue to roll with it and just refine it a bit more.
Yeah, and
that's terrifying.
I worry about media like me being shut out of the locker rooms forever, too. You know, they're going to do the, maybe they say, hey, Zoom interviews forever now. You know, we don't need you pesky reporters polluting our locker room anymore. We'll throw out a Zoom interview every now, you know, after a game. We'll see. I think, I would say that's where the world is heading. You know, maybe they'd always thought about that, doing that, but now the pandemic has shown them.
The excuse.
It's shown them, exactly, it's given them the excuse that, hey, you know, we seem to do pretty well when we just limited guys like Dater and all to just sitting way up top and never coming close to our locker room. And, you know, why do we need to do all that stuff? I don't know. We'll see it. You know, that'll cost them some jobs too. Like, they don't have media relations. They have a lot of media relations people who work to service the media and all that. Now, if they don't do that, and the media doesn't show up anymore, then those people are out of a job. So, I don't know.
Yeah, and I think there'll always be a need for media to be in person. But yeah, I mean, when you look at commentators, I mean, it's been implemented pretty well. But then. Interviews and stuff like that, if you can get a system that is dedicated, because I'm sure someone out there is dedicating or is creating some form of interview type of thing specifically for sports, you get something like that that ends up working out well, and all of a sudden it's, yeah, you can come to our games, you can sit in the press box, but that's all the access you're getting for the thing. And it wouldn't surprise me to start seeing that.
And I probably shouldn't say this, but but I will. I don't know if it even matters if we're allowed in the room anymore, because the players now in pro sports today are so conditioned not to say anything remotely interesting or controversial or anything that's going to get them in trouble, that, you know, you get the same pablum answers on a Zoom as you're going to get in person in the locker room, really, 95% of the time.
Yep.
So it really doesn't really matter, especially to the reader or the consumer of the content.
Now, back to the cliches.
I do think that it's, you know, better still for everybody when you have reporters that really can look a player in the eye and players can talk more to as
feed
real people and be professional reporters doing real work. But
yeah,
I don't know if that matters to billionaire owners who don't really want any, who really want to control their own message, you know, all the time, and not have to worry about some reporter sullying their brand, you know, with a negative story or something.
And so, it it becomes that much easier to shut someone off from the team. You know, obviously, a team doesn't like a reporter, it's pretty easy for them to just say, we don't have enough media passes for you next season. Sorry, bud. And now it's going to be even easier. It's like, sorry, this guy doesn't have the time to take your interview questions over Zoom. You know, it's a bit worrisome, but
yeah,
I think it's where it's headed.
Yeah, I do too. I think those are the moments where I'm glad I'm in my 50s and not just starting out in the business, maybe. Sorry, kid. but I don't know. I think it'll evolve okay. I don't think sports is ever going to get that nasty when it comes to media relations anyway. Politics has changed where they don't allow any reporters to go anywhere near the candidates now or anything one-on-one. But, you know, I don't think sports will get that nasty, you know, where it comes to that.
At the end of the day, it's journalism. Journalism has always had times where it struggles, but it adapts and it changes. And
not quite like this.
Continues, yeah. But I think it's a field that will adapt as it needs to. It may shrink.
Well, it's already shrunk.
It's already shrinking.
Oh, it's already vastly shrunk.
But
they don't have – it's just a sort of circling a drain almost. It's, you know, in the newspapers especially, I mean, that were such the backbone of media for so long. Just not a viable form of communication anymore, really. Ink on paper is not an effective economical way to do business anymore. And that's just life, you know. It's been going on for, gosh, I remember, you know, early 2000s, I at least started worrying about the internet and what ramifications were. A lot of people I worked with at the time were like, the internet, no big deal. That's just a fad, you know. There's no way newspapers will ever be affected. But I'm like, I don't think so. I don't think that's correct. And all those people probably not even working at a paper anymore. You still laugh at me, but. And I'm not either at a paper, so, all right, well, it's a weird first day. It's good to do a podcast, though, to talk about it. It's hopefully going to be, you know, just regular Avalanche content here from the next, at least 2 months. I am very worried about next season. I don't see how the Avalanche and the NHL are going to have a season without fans being allowed in the stands, so maybe we'll save that for the next podcast. You know,
that's a whole rabbit hole discussion to jump down.
We've at least, knock on wood, got, you know, at least a month of solid everyday Avalanche content and stuff to talk about. There is a team on the ice that was on. I saw it with my own eyes today. It's practicing.
It's real. It's real, everybody.
It is. It happened.
Hockey's
it's
back.
It's in July. It's 100 degrees
Christmas
out.
In July.
It's a playoff. We're talking playoffs in August, but it's here, folks. We're here, and we'll just try to get through it again. It's at least we know we got some hockey to talk about. After that, I guess we'll cross that bridge when we come to it, right?
Yep.
Reagan, all right, let's wrap it up. Thanks to everybody listening. Colorado Hockey Now is the site. Got a $5 off sale. If you want to get in on that before the next 36 hours are over, head on over there, click on the subscribe button. You get 20% off the regular price for 12 months of stellar Avalanche coverage that we offer on the site. It's year, we passed the 1 year mark on the site, so that's a good accomplishment for us. Still doing very well. And yeah, all right. I even hired a new kid today. Do we mention Scott McDonald on this pod? I don't think we did.
I don't think we did. No.
Yeah, hired a new writer today. He's going to help out on the coverage for from now on. A kid named Scott McDonald, 24-year-old CU graduate, covered the Eagles and DU hockey this year. Had a credential for them. Written a lot on the Avs too. He's going to be moving over to the Colorado Hockey Now site. Move on with me. I met him today. Good kid. Smart about hockey. Played a little hockey too. Like Division II hockey, club hockey. So he's actually played the game. More than I can say. I did play in high school. We didn't have a team, but I played some pod hockey. So I've been on skates, shot a puck. I had a good slap shot for a while. I was a pretty big kid. Could slap that puck around, but
I was going to say that.
Glory days. Glory days. They'll pass you by. Yeah. So, look forward to that. Scott will be writing this weekend starting, and got a lot of good stuff coming your way. So thanks for listening, folks. Reagan, any last words before we head out?
It's here. It's back. Let's get it done.
All right.
Let's do that hockey.
That's right. Okay, man. Thanks all for listening. Reagan, I'll say goodnight to you, and we'll catch you next week.
Yep, see ya.
Okay, bud.
That does it for us, but there's no need to be sad because hockey is officially back. We'll see you again on the next edition of the Can't Hear What Jeremy Says podcast.